Hello and welcome to Unlicensed Therapy, the variety comedy show podcast. My name is Peter.
And I'm Andreas.
Welcome, Andreas. We are your two dynamite and demiurgic hosts of Unlicensed Therapy, the show where we have no reason to be giving anyone advice, answering anybody's questions, or telling stories. But you're listening to us do that anyway. Welcome, welcome, everyone. Andreas, how the hell are you?
I'm good. I really feel like that was your most aggressive intro yet.
Yeah, I mean, it felt, today's an aggressive day, you know?
Yeah.
I woke up and I chose violence. Jeez, how was your day, Andreas? What'd you do?
Not a whole lot. It's been cold and sort of snowy. I woke up this morning and it was that sort of snowy, icy mix where the entire parking lot is just an ice rink.
Ice rink
of death. Gotta love spring in these mountainy states.
Yeah, in the Mountain Standard time zone, we all get screwed for weather in the spring. Because I had a few inches of snow yesterday, but today... 55 degrees and sunny, baby. Let's go.
I love the few weeks in spring where you get to experience every season in one day.
Oh, yeah. It's wild, man.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Happy to be recording with you. This is our first back-to-back. Actually, nope, that's a complete lie.
Yep, total lie.
Not our first back-to-back episode, but our first...
Yep, we're liars.
...standard back-to-back episode.
Yeah, this is our first, you know what, Andreas, you want to know what episode this is? This is the first episode where we're not changing anything about our release schedule.
I feel like now that you said that, it's just not true.
This is the first episode where we're not going to have a housekeeping section of the podcast.
This is Schrodinger's release schedule where you neither know... nor don't know if this podcast is coming out in some sort of regular fashion.
Yeah, this is the first one where we're not... I mean, I guess this technically counts as us housekeeping the schedule, but we're not changing anything. We're just reiterating what we said last week. Andreas.
Peter.
I am under the impression that you... I'm looking into my magic crystal by which I can read your thoughts, and I sense a lot of anger, a lot of frustration... Have you recently been stuck in a very long line?
Well, Peter, I'm shocked that you asked this question.
I know.
No, I did a crazy thing 2 weeks ago. Well, not super crazy. Not crazy as far as like crazy things go, but crazy for me. So I was sitting on my couch one lovely Tuesday afternoon after work.
Oh, wow.
It's like 6 or 7 o'clock. And Taylor's
That's
like...
That's evening.
Excuse me?
That's not afternoon.
Okay.
It's evening.
I'm sitting on my couch one evening noon.
Okay.
And it's getting to the point where like it's starting to settle down for the evening and like chill out and prepare for work the next day. And Taylor's like, "Do you want In-N-Out?" And in my head I'm like, "Well, sure. I mean, who doesn't want In-N-Out? But the closest In-N-Out is an hour and a half away from here." She's like, "Yeah. Okay." Let's go. No questions asked.
Wow.
And so quite literally, no questions asked. We get in the cart. We drive an hour and a half to the nearest metropolitan area where there's an In-N-Out, which is Denver. And we get to the In-N-Out location, which is in like a pretty big mall. The first thing, we get there and there's like emergency lights everywhere. And we're like, oh shit, what's going on? Like, are we going to be able to get In-N-Out? Is everyone okay? Whatever, whatever. And then we like get a little closer and we see signs for event parking. And we're like, oh, there must be like a thing going on near the In-N-Out. And as it turns out,
no.
Event parking, the event, is every day at dinner for In-N-Out.
What?
Yeah, they have signage and traffic cops every single day to deal with the In-N-Out line.
Because it's brand new, right? People haven't gotten sick of it yet.
Well, it's new-ish. It's not like... Well,
it's a couple months.
It's pretty new, yeah.
Oh my God.
So we do like the first lap around and there's a massive line spiraling around the building. And like traffic people with like, you know, those airport thingies...
Yeah, they're flashlights with construction paper taped to them, yep.
Okay.
More or less.
Yes, but there's got to be a cooler name than that, like...
Beacons.
Exactly.
I think they're actually called beacons.
Traffic sabers.
Yeah, sure.
So we go in one of the lines that looks shorter, and we get all the way up there, and they're like, well, this line's for dine-in. And we're like, oh? And they're like, yeah, the drive-through line is, if you go out of this parking lot, take a left, take another left, drive about a half a mile down Yosemite, take another left, go to the Sears parking lot, and follow the line of cones, that's how you get in the drive-through line. And we're like, okay. So we do all the things, drive about a half a mile down Yosemite, down like the main boulevard or whatever, and get to like the very end on the other side of the mall. And that's where the line of cones starts. Luckily, it wasn't full of cars, but this okay. line of cones probably weaved around and did a bunch of loops and turns and all the way around in such a fashion that I would say it could handle probably 500-600 cars at one time. Oh my God. I mean, an absurd amount.
Yeah.
Like a half a mile or 3/4 of a mile worth of cone queue.
Jeez Louise. Okay, so how long did you wait in this line?
Surprisingly not long. We were there by the time we like got there because it was already late when we left. So by the time right. we got there, it was like 8:30. So not very long at that point. But we waited in the line for maybe 25-30 minutes. I have been to In-N-Out before, but not for a long time. But I got the double-double, which is double meat, double cheese.
Ooh, okay.
Yep.
Which I've never been to In-N-Out, so.
They have 4 menu options, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can do double-double, which is double meat, double cheese. Double meat, which is just 2 patties.
Uh-huh.
Or a single cheeseburger or a cheese hamburger.
Yeah.
I don't think you can just get cheese. I don't think you can get a bun, lettuce, tomato, and cheese.
It's just a fancy grilled cheese. I'm in for it. You mean to tell me that at 7 o'clock on this fine Tuesday night, you and Taylor were like, you want to know what's fun? Want to know what's a great idea? Let's spend the next 4 hours in the car.
And then, because we had to pee so bad, we went to the local Target. And it was the first Target I've ever seen. Well, the first local Target I've ever seen with an escalator. And so then I was curious about the escalator, but I think it just goes into the parking structure.
Gotcha.
Which then the first Target I've seen with a parking structure.
Huh.
I don't know. It was weird. It's a weird experience.
Yeah. That's a hell of an adventure for a Tuesday night, bud.
Yeah. It was a good time though. Like in the time of COVID, it's funny how your perspective can swing on things that you find enjoyable.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I feel like anything beats sitting on my couch playing Animal Crossing another night in a row.
Well, that's true, man. I mean, I feel like before COVID, I was way more spontaneous like that, where I would just be like, all right, hop in the car, we're going somewhere. But since I've been effectively locked in my house outside of going to work, I haven't been nearly as spontaneous to just be like, you know what sounds good? A burger from an hour and a half away.
Yeah, and when you put it that way, it was a pretty average cheeseburger.
See, that's what I've heard. Like, I've never had In-N-Out, but I've heard that it's underwhelming for the hype.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I'll try it once, but I know I'm not going to fall in love with it because I've had far better burgers.
To me, it's just the upgrade of the Dave's Double from Wendy's. It's like it's good and it's fresh. It's fresh ingredients. That's the whole appeal.
Sure.
I think personally is you can tell it's fresh, but it's not like the special all
it's not
perfect
hamburger. It's not the best fast food burger you've ever goddamn had.
No, Five Guys is the best fast food burger I've ever goddamn had.
Five Guys. Okay, yeah. I mean, I love Five Guys, don't get me wrong, but I'm still on the search.
Five Guys is there's something about the bun.
Okay.
Five Guys has a good bun.
Like every Five Guys sandwich I've ever had, whether that be a burger or like the bun specifically, always falls apart on me.
It's weird that you just called a burger a sandwich.
Well, I've had BLTs there too.
Oh, okay. I guess that.
But they use the same bun, so
is a
that's
burger
where it
a
came
sandwich?
In.
I guess a burger.
Burger's
is a
definitely
sandwich.
A sandwich. Are you kidding me? Anyway, yeah, like I've never had consistently like these buns hold together. Like I feel like when I'm like 3/4 of the way through my burger, it starts to fall apart on me because the burgers are so juicy and delicious.
That's true.
That they just disintegrate.
You gotta
like
eat fast.
But like a good burger bun, it toughs it out like to the bitter end.
What's the best burger bun? Bun only.
The best burger?
Like which restaurant has the best bun? They might not have the best burger.
There's a place in Bozeman called Backcountry Burger Bar.
Mm.
They had the best buns, hands down.
Toasted, not toasted?
Toasted. They baked them fresh every single morning.
Oh, that's awesome.
They were delicious.
Are you a sesame seed guy?
I love sesame seeds. But if I'm like at the grocery store and I need like fixins for burgers, I get like potato buns.
Yeah, potato buns are good.
Love potato buns.
So then we were out and about shopping and we see this massive line outside of, I think it's a, it's probably franchise, but it's a place called Learning Express. I'm sure they exist.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're like, why could there possibly be like 6 dozen people outside of Learning Express?
At 11 o'clock at night.
No, not 11 o'clock at night. No, this is a different day, different time.
Oh, this is a different day. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm transitioning, but keeping the lines tangent.
Yeah.
No, this was like probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're running around like doing some shopping. It was definitely the weekend. But I'm like, why are there all these people outside of Learning Express? It's like a toy game. Like, also,
I thought it was like a tutoring center.
I think they have that too.
Maybe.
But they have toys and games for sure. And also like study tools and like,
right.
I don't know, protractor. I don't, what do they sell at Learning Express? You tell
me. Compasses. But, you know it. Graph paper. Goddamn right. Yeah.
Fancy like blue, red, and yellow calculators.
Yeah, that car mat that every kid had.
Oh yeah,
probably.
I didn't have one, but my doctor sure did.
Oh my god, I had one.
I just remember playing with the car mat in the doctor's waiting room.
Oh man, simpler times, man. Simpler times.
Now, anyway, now every kid's just got a Switch.
Hey man, that's all right with me. But why were so many people outside Learning Express?
Oh, so,
was there a new, like, Thomas the Tank Engine drop or something that we
missed? Not far off. Are you familiar with the brand Squishmallow?
I'm going to take a guess. Is the Squishmallow that cute, like, octopus-looking thing that has a happy side, but when you, like, invert it, it's upset?
Oh, what?
Let me try to find
one. I have no idea what you're talking about.
They are really cute.
You should look up Squishmallow, though.
Okay, yeah. What I'm thinking of is the octopus mood plushie.
Okay, let me look that up. Oh, my God.
So he's happy or angry. Yeah, right? So, okay. Now, okay, this is getting a lot more complicated. They're these puffy, squishy stuffed animals. But, Andreas, you have to... please try to explain why it's listed as a musical artist for kids. Kids
wait,
music.
Wait, hold on. That is the top thing on, well, not the top thing on Google. Wait, this goes deeper than I originally thought.
You haven't done your research
join
as
the
to
Squishmallow
why?
Squad. Okay, well, so Taylor's on their Facebook page and they're like, hey, new Squishmallow drop at 3, be there or be squishy. I don't know what it said, but...
of course.
And there were like 6 dozen people out there, like 100 people standing outside Learning Express with this Squishmallow thing.
Oh my God, they have a jingle.
Is this like the new Webkinz?
I think it might be the new Webkinz. We're going to have to not include the Squishmallow jingle that I'm about to play for Andreas on my phone. Pause the episode here and listen to it and then start listening back. When you hear our reactions. Okay, go.
Wow.
Oh. My God.
So, whatever my preconceptions were about Squishmallows before this podcast have totally been shattered.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God.
So, anyway, I guess they're just like the new thing now. Like, do you remember when Pillow Pets was a thing?
Of course. And they had a really catchy jingle. That's all you need. You need a soft... item
yeah,
soft animal like thing and a really good jingle, because the Squishmallow jingle is kind of a bop.
So be on the lookout for the Unlicensed Therapy microphone plushie.
Yeah. Oh my God. I would actually cry. That would be so good.
I feel like we kind of have to make that happen now, even if it's just one.
Two. One for each of us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Obviously. Oh my Lord. They're so cute.
They are very cute.
There's an axolotl, which I'm absolutely in love with.
So they've also done the thing where they've made a bunch of them and they're rare in different places. So then it becomes a thing of, Learning
Express. That's basic economics. That's macroeconomics, baby. You got supply and demand. When there's a greater demand than supply, you have scarcity. When you have scarcity, you drive the prices up. It's really good.
Wow. I don't even feel like we need to do armchair experts now.
Nah, dude. Armchair experts is economics this week. And that was it. That was the entire segment. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's right. So when Learning Express has Simon the Sloth in stock and he hasn't hit the market for a while.
Yeah, get your ass to Learning Express real quick, because Target doesn't even order them. Mm-mm. Wow. That's weird.
I think my favorite one is the one that's a mallard duck.
Yeah, yeah. I can vibe with it.
Oh, look how cute he is.
They're really cute, but like they're pretty expensive.
The duck is the cutest one.
Look at the axolotl.
Look at this duck.
I know. Oh my God, he is pretty cute. okay. All right. Off transitioning off of children's toys. Andres, to memory, what is the longest line that you've had to sit in?
That would probably be when the new Star Wars thing came out and you were there and so that's actually a great story.
Okay. No. I asked what the longest line was, as in longest in people, not the longest period of time, because we were the only three people in that line for like 4 hours.
So we show up to the Star Wars premiere for
episode 7,
Force Awakens. God, I couldn't think of it.
Yes, thank you.
We showed up like 5 hours early thinking there's gonna be a huge line.
Yeah, because there was one theater in town.
Yeah, well, one good theater.
And, like, it's a Star Wars movie. They haven't released a Star Wars movie in 2 decades.
Yeah.
Going on 3. Like, we thought it was going to be a big deal. But, so we're like, we got to get there early. We love the movie theater anyway. Like, we just hang out. And so we get there. It's, like, empty. Because our showing was at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So we got there at, like, 3:30 or 4 after a nice lunch situation. And so then we're like, we're here to see Star Wars. And the people at the theater just kind of looked at us. They're like, okay, but it's in 4 hours. You know that, don't you? We're like, yes. Where's the line? Where do we start? And they're like, well, you guys are the first ones here, so I guess just chill over there.
So I think, if I remember correctly, it eventually worked out to it being like, all right, we'll make sure you guys are the first ones in the theater. Go do something else. And so we just saw a different movie.
Yeah, I don't even remember what we saw.
I think it was like Hunger Games or something. Something dumb.
Oh, that's right. It was. It was the third one. Yeah. Mockingjay. Fire Phoenix arrows.
Yep. So we go see Hunger Games, come back out of the theater.
Then we got dinner.
Yeah.
Across the street. And then after dinner, at this point, it was maybe like 45 minutes until the movie started. So we came back. They're like, oh, geez, it's these jokers again. But we had that first spot. At this point, there's maybe 20 people in line. Yeah. But we were still the first.
There was a dude with a silver tray with our popcorn on it and like a silk vest. No, not really.
It was great. There was an R2. There's an R2 unit.
Yeah, there
was. It was so sick. There's a picture of me on Facebook where I just look dead ass tired, like next to this R2 unit. It was huge. Like it was like probably true to size, compared to the movies. It was so sick.
I don't think that was like official merchandise or like an official marketing thing either. I think someone built that.
No, I thought some dude just brought it. Yeah. But they remembered us because they're like, oh, it's these kids that have been here for 4 hours and are way too excited about Star Wars. So we got the first spots in line.
Yeah.
And I will die on this hill saying that I was the very first person in that theater. Not even like we were the first group, but I was the first of the group in there. So I was pretty stoked.
Yeah. It was a good experience. Not like
I had a great time.
The best movie for a 5.5 hour wait or whatever.
No, the wait did not hold up. But, you know, I still enjoyed it. It was great.
Okay, so the longest line of people?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Man, you know, I asked that question not having an answer to it myself. I think at least one of the longest lines I've ever waited in was when I got my Wii in 2008. We waited at Target. And they was very organized. Like, they were like, all right, let's 20 people in. Like, they'd only let 20 people in at a time. And they'd give, like, hand out these tickets and shit. But that line was so long. And it was me and Thomas and our aunt, who was visiting at the time, that took us to go get our Wii. Because I think she bought it. I think it was a gift from her. And it was hundreds of people.
I think my non-interesting answer is something dumb like the security line at Seattle International Airport.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, I guess I could say the stupid security line at DIA, which caused me to miss a flight. I was so mad because, all right, this is a good story too. So I was visiting Thomas, who's living in Colorado at the time for the summer, and I came down to visit. So I flew down, or no, we drove down. And I was flying something like that. It was weird situation. We drove his car down and I was flying back up. So he took me to the airport that night. We'd gotten there like 2.5 hours before my flight because I was like, we don't really hang out. Like, everybody has to get to bed early because they're like doing a big thing the next day. So I got there and there was an issue with my ticket for whatever reason. And so the person, the ticket counter was like, hold on, your ticket's not good. And I'm like, that's not possible. So I had to wait for half an hour for the dude's boss to swing around and be like, oh no, it's fine. And I was like, great, thanks for wasting my time. So then it was evening of like a Sunday night. No, it was a Friday night. So there was just a zoo of people in there. So I get in the security line and I'm like constantly checking my watch because it's like, all right, I have 2 hours till my flight. I'm like halfway through security. I have 45 minutes till my flight. It was taking so long. I had already given up hope. And by the time I get through security and I'm on the cool little train that takes you to your concourse.
Yeah, that train's not cool in any way other than the fact that it's a train.
It's, cute little underground monorail at DIA. So then I'm on the train and I look at the time. And my flight is scheduled to leave in 5 minutes. That train is not the fastest thing in the world. Once again, the only thing cool about it is the fact that it's a train. So then I get to the concourse and I'm like sprinting at this point. Because I'm like, you know, maybe a few other people got screwed like I did. Like they'll hold the flight. Nope. I get to the gate 5 minutes after it was scheduled to leave. And they're like, oh yeah, we left like 20 minutes ago. And I was like, are you... What? Did you just say to me? They're like, yeah, we had everybody on board except for you. And I was like, okay. So you left early?
So that doesn't sound like everybody.
I was so, so angry.
Yeah, don't worry, sir. The plane's going to taxi on the runway for about 35 more minutes, and they're all going to wait anyway.
This is the single most angry I've ever been, like, towards any person working customer service. Like, this is my big, like, Karen moment. Because I marched to the customer service desk and I was like, get me on the next fucking flight out of here because you left early without all your passengers. And I got screwed by the ticket guy, Bradley, and I had to wait for 2 freaking hours in the security line. And then I got random searched too, of course, because I wasn't on a time crunch to begin with. So then... He was like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever. The next earliest flight was the next morning at 6 a.m.
Oh, my God.
So I had to call Thomas and say, hey, My flight left without me. Can you come back to the airport and pick me up? Because the next flight out of here is until tomorrow. He was so mad at me because he was already like almost, he was home at this point. So he had to drive another 45 minutes back to the airport and pick me up, and we were back. So we got, both of us, we got maybe 3 hours of sleep. I slept in an armchair and I was so dead tired. And we got to the airport at like 5 a.m. and I was just like dragging myself through. But there was nobody in security, so it was so good. And my ticket worked like it should because it's an airline ticket. And then I get to the gate to learn that I wasn't put on this flight. I was put to fly on standby.
Oh.
And like it showed the list of like people. The flight was full. And then it showed the list of people flying on standby for this flight. I was like 10 people down.
Oh,
like, there's no chance in hell I'm getting on this plane. So at this point, I'm like, all right, I hate traveling. I hate this airport. I hate everything. I'm going to go get breakfast. So I walked down to the end of the concourse and I saw a sign. So I was flying into Bozeman. But on my way to the Caribou Coffee, I saw a flight to Billings, which is about 2 hours away from Bozeman. I was like, okay. And then I saw that list where I was like, this is how full the flight is. There were like six people on this flight. So then, coffee in hand, croissant in the other, I marched to the customer service desk. And I'm like, do not make me fly in standby because I will be here for days. Get me on that flight to Billings. Because you screwed me once already and I'm not about to let you do it again. So then as soon as they got that arranged, like the flight is maybe 45 minutes. It is just up and down from Denver to Montana.
Yeah.
So as soon as I got that arranged, because they're like boarding in like 5 minutes, I called my mom. I was like, Mom, I need you to be in Billings and I need you to leave now because that's where I'm flying in. And so she got in the car. And she got to the airport as my airplane hit the runway
in Billings.
Perfect timing. But my God, I will never fly United Airlines again if I have any choice in the matter. It was the worst experience of my life.
Wow. Very cool. That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. Quite the tangent I got off on there. But yeah, that... Lines, man. I hate them.
The audience couldn't see, but there was a good amount of pointing, anger pointing, yes, during that.
Very angry pointing. Yeah.
Flying sucks.
I love the flying part, but everything that sandwiches it, the getting to the airport, getting through security, dealing with airport shit, followed by getting your luggage or just trying to get out of the airport and try to find your car, whatever you're doing to leave.
Yeah.
Hate that part.
Oh,
but the flying part, it's all right.
There is also that sort of relaxed moment of serenity where you've done all the shit you need to do and then you're just waiting to board and you're sitting in an airport cafe somewhere just like,
yep.
For about 20 minutes and then your life is fucked again for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Wow. I feel a bit ranty.
That was good. That was a good anecdote.
Yeah. Whew. I feel that was cathartic, man. I got a lot off my chest there.
You know, I will say the one good thing about COVID is that I haven't had to deal with an airport in a year.
That's true. You know, not, you know, silver lining. All right, Andres, we have two questions this week from a repeat offender. We'll go first, but then we'll top off the episode with a newcomer to the questions. So our favorite question asker, Roy Boy, he needs some advice, Andres. He says, I cannot finish things. I've seen Avatar, The Last Airbender, except for the last episode. I got to the final mission for Final Fantasy VII, and I never played it. I got to the last mission in Ghost of Tsushima, never played it. I never finish countless shows, games, etc. However, I will always rewatch and replay garbage TV like Gilmore Girls. Do you have any advice to fix this condition?
So when you started the question, I was like, oh yeah, lots of people don't finish video games or shows or whatever. But to get to the last episode or the last mission and not finish it, That's insanity.
Yes. That is the weirdest thing to have. It, Roy Boy, if I'm going to be honest, it sounds like you have a very niche type of anxiety, right? Where like you feel so anxious having to finish these things, like you don't want it to end.
Yeah.
So you never end it.
Yeah.
Because then once you finish something, heavy air quotes on that, there's that void in your life that you don't know how to fill.
Yeah.
Because you're anxious about starting something new. So you are forever in this I never finish or start new thing anxiety limbo by the sound of it. My advice to you, and once again, do not take anything I say to be good advice.
Yeah.
But what I would do is to just either finish it and start something else like a normal person, or go see a doctor and get some meds for that. That, yeah, no, that,
no, no, no,
that
no, no.
100%
no, no, no.
sounds like
no, no, no.
textbook
I got
anxiety.
It. I got it. I got it. I got
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Hit me up, Dr. Andreas.
Here's what you need to do. The only way to get over a fear is to face it, right?
That's what I'm saying.
That's very stressful. That's a very stressful thing to do. So what you need to do is you just need to pick a day and mark that as your high stress day and just finish everything in
just
one
do
go.
Do it all at once.
Yeah.
Yes.
Finish Ghost of Tsushima. Finish Final Fantasy. Finish whatever else you said you didn't finish.
All right. You know what? We're going to do this for you, Roy, because we like you. We appreciate you. What you're going to do on Saturday is you're going to finish Avatar The Last Airbender because you're making a mistake by not doing so.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yep. It's only like 25
you're
minutes.
You're going to play. Yeah, it's like 25 minutes. Come on, dude. You're going to finish Final Fantasy VII because it's a very cathartic ending. I highly recommend it. You are going to play and finish Ghost of Tsushima. I've heard nothing but incredible things about that game. that's your assignment. Three things. That's it.
Yeah.
If you can get all three of those things done this Saturday, I will personally say that I am proud of you.
I've known Peter for 8 years and he's never said that to me once.
Nope. I do not exert my proudness on others lightly. And then to kind of flip side this, you are banned from watching Gilmore Girls for a week.
Well, until you finish.
No. This is to open up.
Oh, this is a different therapy thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you are banned from Gilmore Girls until the end of April, April 30th. You can start rewatching Gilmore Girls in May.
So I can actually relate to Roy on this a little bit because I do get this same thing with books.
Okay.
I don't not finish them. I don't stop on the next to last chapter because that's a crazy person thing to do.
It is.
But I do get really upset and sad when I finish a book, and especially when I finish a series, because it's over. And I think the thing that helps me is to think about how there are more books than I can ever read in my entire life.
You're absolutely right, there are.
And by law of averages and statistics, there's no way that that book that I'm sad about ending is going to be the best thing that I've ever read.
Oh, my God.
Right.
I can see how you could just fall into this rabbit hole.
So, Roy, there's always going to be a better game. There's more games than you can ever hope to play. And you just need to go out there and find the next one. You got to finish the first one so you can find a better game.
Yeah, you just got to live in the moment, man.
Yeah. And that moment is not ignoring a giant pile of things that you've never finished.
Avatar is so freaking good. I cannot believe you haven't watched
it.
Anyway, thanks, Roy, at RoyBoy140 on Twitter for that one.
Hoped we fixed your problem.
Hope we fixed your problem. If not, you'll be hearing about it very soon. he streams on twitch.tv/RoyBoy140 in case anybody wants to watch him.
Oh, yeah,
he's a great
definitely
dude.
Go
love
check him.
Him
out. Shameless plug for one of our good friends.
Shameless plug. Love this dude. The next question comes from a good friend of mine, Chris, and he's asking for advice. His question to us is, this might be too specific, but I have a friend who spends all his time working or coaching for free. How do I get him to stop? There's a lot to unpack there.
Wow, yeah.
For context, because I know who this is referencing. This individual spends all his time working. I don't know what he does for work exactly. It's always been a very vague kind of weird situation, but I know he doesn't get paid or directly, like he doesn't get a paycheck. But then coaching, he coaches a League of Legends college team for free.
Okay.
Or maybe he did two teams. I don't know. Once again, kind of an enigma. But he does it all for free, which is baffling because he easily spends like 40 hours a week working and then another like, I don't know, 30 doing league coaching for this team. But he does it for free. This man is putting in 70 hours of work a week and not seeing a dime. And I don't know how he does it. How do you get him to stop? You have to physically confront him.
Wait.
Words aren't enough. Oh, okay.
Wait, stopping's not the answer. No, this okay. man. Okay, I'm fine with the coaching for free thing, as long as the college league kids aren't getting paid and he isn't, or are getting right. paid and he isn't. Like if yeah. they're getting money and I he's don't... not, that doesn't make sense.
They're not.
Okay, that's
to
fine
my understanding.
To me. With
it's
your
like coaching
job,
Little League.
With your job, heavy air yeah. quotes.
With your job, whatever that may be.
Okay, here's what you need to do. You're working 60 hours, 50 hours, whatever it is. You need
a lot.
What you need to do, you need to go to a firm where your services are required. Okay. You need to walk in the front door. You need to go to whoever looks like they have the most pull, and you need to say, "Hi, I'm here for my first day." And they're going to say, "Oh, I didn't know you were... What? Who are you?" And you need to act very confident, okay?
Yeah.
And you need to say, "No, I'm here for my first day. I just need to fill out my paperwork. They said I could do that at HR. And they will take you to HR. You need to be very yep. confident. Very, very confident.
You have to be so sure of yourself.
They take you to HR. Do research on the company first. Like, get some of the lingo and some of the, like,
yeah,
culture
and
buzzwords.
Yeah, you gotta know a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Look at their about page. Talk about their CFO, how you that you know them from a friend of a friend or whatever. Anyway, go to HR. As long as you can get that I-9 and that W-9 in, you're golden. You work
golden,
there now.
Maybe. Yeah.
And now you're getting a paycheck.
All right. So, Chris, here is how we solve your issue. We need you to go in his stead.
Oh, yeah.
You need to write the most kick-ass letter of recommendation to where his skills fit.
Yeah.
Be like, this man, and just make up a fake name and title. You are CEO of this industry business and have been doing it for 20 years. And this individual is the single best employee you ever had. And they would be stupid not to hire him.
Yeah, make them think they're getting a bargain.
Yeah. Say you paid him $120,000 a year, but you could easily hire this man for $40,000.
And that's $40,000 more than you're making.
Exactly. So, but you just need to write this kick-ass letter of recommendation.
Yeah.
And then schedule an interview for him with said letter.
You might have to call as him later.
Yeah. You basically have to do all the work for him, but it will make him stop coaching.
And that's the most questionable advice we can give.
That is 100% the shadiest advice we can give. But if you can somehow finagle your way into signing an I-9 and a W-9 for any company, you are technically an employee. And if they have very loose, like, probationary period kind of rules, yeah, you are so set.
Plus, all you have to do is make it the first 30 days and impress them, and then they'll probably just keep you anyway.
Exactly.
You don't even have to keep up the ruse after that.
Yeah. At 30 days, you're like, I honestly forced my way into this company, but I love it. Oh, God. Anyway.
Oof. Well, Peter, it's been a joy podcasting with you this week.
It's been a fantastic one. I feel lighter, you know? I feel like I had a lot of hate built up in my heart regarding my traveling.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that was
no,
nice.
I'm sure that's not the end of our travel rants.
Oh, no. I have a good, good travel story coming up.
Very good.
Thank you, everybody, for watching this fine evening. If you want to know what's happening, when it's happening, all the time, you can follow us on Twitter at unlicensed show or Instagram at unlicensed therapy show. And also you can find us on Spotify if you want to follow us on there, or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. We are there. And we'd really appreciate you following us in any kind of facet, or just, you know, doing what you're doing, which is listening. We like it.
That's right. Send us your questions. We want to be able to help you. Though we can't guarantee morally or legally sound advice, so
no way we can do that. I do want to throw a single shout out, because I was looking over our stats for the podcast. Shout out to everybody who listens, but specifically our single viewer, I'm guessing single viewer from the Netherlands. What is up? How are you doing? How did you find us?
Please don't be spam.
Tweet
please
at
don't
us.
Be
say
spam.
Hey.
Please don't be a bot. Please don't be
please
a bot.
Please don't be a bot. But if you're not a bot, please tweet us. Be like, hey, I'm your Dutch viewer. What's happening?
Here are my
I
problems.
I would love to get to know you. Anyway, yeah, thanks for listening to this wacky, aggressive, who knows? This is a doozy of an episode. We appreciate you. Have a good one.
Bye.